Welcome back, Mistakes listeners. This is Dave, and that means it's Parent and Mistakes time. This episode, we centered in on another Disney show, which I think Todd and I found a new one, and it is called Bizarre Bark. This is episode 75. We recorded this episode actually last month. We've been so busy and had so many great ideas and topics to throw at you guys, and we reviewed some shows as well, that this one just kind of got lost in the shuffle a little bit. But it's here now, and you can, as always, follow us on Twitter at Parent Mistakes, and you can like us on Facebook at Parent Mistakes. You can, of course, email us at hotmail@parentandmistakes.com. And as always, as you know, it's time to watch the show. Listen to the show. As always, sit back and enjoy the show. The pre-show that you have an intro today.
You're setting these people up for these expectations.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
That was a super hyper.
The pre-show.
Up. Yeah.
Yes, hey, our loyal listener.
If you donate on Patreon, you could be a part of our pre-show.
Oh, there you go. You could see the magic.
That's right.
Pull back that curtain. See the hours of preparation that go into this.
That is correct. Yes.
Hours.
Fine production.
Many, many drafts.
True.
Okay, so I got a small sort of a touchy-feely quiz, because
I love quizzes.
You're a feely guy.
It's true. It's true. I am emotionally intelligent.
Okay.
Yeah.
Have you been tested for that?
I should.
Okay.
So you got to get your mic ready in the pre-show.
Yeah, I get it. That's right. Minor details.
That's right.
Okay, so what we've talked about a lot, or at least alluded to, is we go through these parenting phases, and just when we sort of figure stuff out, then our kids change and we change and blah, blah, blah. So as you are well aware, and some of our audience is aware if they've been paying attention, my daughter is at college and she's in the state of Michigan. So she is no longer part of our daily routine.
Which has got to be weird.
It's different. We have had, this is the go-to question of conversation when we run into everyone these days. After the standard pleasantries, people say, "So, how are you doing with one less kid in the house?"
Todd, you've already posed this question.
I know, but
this is a new angle on it.
It's a new angle on it.
Okay, I just don't want to repeat the question that we had before, right? Because that was also a touchy feely.
Yes, new angle on this in terms of, am I supposed to feel like, are my feelings supposed to wear off?
Oh, okay, all right. Yeah, that's a different angle. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, because it's been a couple weeks now. And as I shared before, you know, we...
Are these, like, old people that are coming up to you?
No, it's kind of everybody.
Oh, God, I remember when my kids went to college, and oh, my life...
No, it's everybody. It's everybody.
That way, since for, like, 30 years now, I wish... This is what your parents tell you. Please move back home.
Right? Todd, can you just move home? I guess they're not over it then, huh?
I guess not.
Yeah.
So... Well, I don't know if this is just people in general projecting or what, but yeah. So,
but you're saying that it's everybody. So, do you want me to project?
Everybody.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh, Todd, how does it feel to have your daughter missing now?
Yes.
The vacant room, the empty nest. Do you want to lay another egg? Well,
it's not quite a vacant room because her sister redid it. So.
Oh, she has two rooms now.
Well, no. I mean,
Meg has two rooms.
Meg and Emma shared a bedroom.
Okay.
Like before Emma even moved out.
Actually, the question is for Meg. Hey, Meg, how does it feel to have your own gigantic room now?
Well, and she has been asked that as well. She would say that she misses her because she's kind of supposed to. I mean, they like each other.
Wow.
Well, because you're supposed to say that, right?
I actually like my kids. I mean, I'm supposed to say it, I still like them.
But Meg would also say she enjoys having the room to herself.
Yeah, if that was Dave Kidney of 12 years old, I would say, yes, I am very extremely happy that my big sister has gone away.
Yeah, so yeah. She likes having room to herself.
Yeah, but the answer is, I miss her because that's the right thing to say.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, it's all mine.
It's mine. That's my little kingdom.
This is a feeler question again, like... A
little bit, yeah.
The question was, how long do you... Oh, the mourning period.
Is there a mourning period?
There is a mourning period to this whole equation. So it's been how many weeks? 3 weeks?
Yeah, I guess so. Yeah, Mid-September.
Yeah, she's not dead.
No.
Bet she's already called and asked for money.
No.
What?
She's got a debit card. She's got a bank account, you know, this is...
Well, okay. Is it her money?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Well, that's good. That's good. I don't want to express to the world that she has her own private bank account full of money.
Well, she has her own private bank account, which I also have access to.
Oh, okay. So have you been putting money in there already?
Not yet. Oh, no. Okay. She's got enough to, you know, she doesn't need a lot of, like, spending cash.
Not yet.
No. Yeah. So.
Fiscally conservative.
Yes.
Yes. That's nice.
So, mourning period, or do you just sort of say, well... We've moved on now.
You know, you and I are reminiscers, and I am sure you have had moments, and I think this is true, where you've paused for a second and thought, where is she? Right?
Yes.
Like, for me right now, if I get, it's really strange, but sometimes, like even talking to you, I'll realize, I should just go in and give my daughters a big hug because I can still pick them up off the ground and hug them.
Right.
Because that's going to go away someday. And I've heard a lot of parents say, you'll never forget it, but can you remember the last time your daughter was in a shopping cart at, say, Target? Like when you actually put them in there. Like, when was the last time that occurred, right? Those moments just disappear. And then you sit here like, oh, I remember when I had to bring everybody into the shopping cart at Target. Oh, I remember it, right?
Right.
Right, and I got some of those feelings, I'm sure, for Emma are gone, right? Like, you don't, you know, oh, I wish I could put Emma in the shopping cart. Although in college, she's probably riding a lot of shopping carts.
She probably is, yeah.
Weird things happen there.
So when she comes home for Christmas, I'm going to say, hey, could you crawl in the shopping cart for me for a second? I just want to relive a moment here.
No, yeah, that's gone, right?
Yeah. I mean, I do miss her, and we miss her, and
but
it's
what
different.
What I'm saying is this. It's always a process of saying goodbye.
It is.
You know what I mean? Like, I know for a fact that I cannot put my 7-year-old in a shopping cart anymore. Oh, I mourn it. I miss it. But every day something goes by, it's like a goodbye. Right? Except some goodbyes are bigger than others, and it's significant because you actually took your daughter to college, put her in a vacant room of some sort that had objects that she couldn't identify,
and
away you go.
Ya.
Yeah, and seal it. But for you, I'm sure you're like, ugh, what am I doing, right? This week, I put Kayleen on the bus. She is now riding the bus, and
the
she
bus.
Loves it for now.
For now.
She's really having a good time, but it's a moment, right?
Well, and if you have multiple kids, it does make you rethink what you're doing with your remaining kids.
That is correct. I think that is correct.
Which is a good thing. Yeah. And, you know, I know Emma has a couple of peers that went off to college and they were only children.
Yes.
And so those parents are having a very, very different experience because you put all this energy into this kid, you know, and then poof.
Yeah, see,
it's
when
gone.
Meg goes for you, that is going to be so strange, right?
It is. It is, but, you know, again, it's like, I mean, it depends on where my kids end up. So, like, if my oldest comes back to Southern California, which there's no guarantee that she will, but if she comes back, by the time Meg goes off, she could be back in sort of a new rotation with us.
I hope not.
Well, but not like living at home, but like if you live locally, then you see your, you know, I mean, that's the general idea at least.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, yeah, no, I mean, right, totally. One of them is bound to come back and be around you. Not in your house, but...
No, well...
live in the general vicinity, right?
Yeah. So, yeah, I would say in general, just it is a little bizarre, but...
Okay. I got it this time! I got it! A bizarre Vark-like? Nice transition! Woo.
Thank you. And now the audience is like, what are you people talking about?
Well, we're talking about Bizarre Vark, one of Disney's new shows. On is it Disney, just the plain old Disney Channel?
Boy, that's
or is
a good
it Disney
question.
XD?
I watched it on mine.
It might be Disney XD.
Yeah. We didn't do that in the pre-show.
Yeah, oops. Let's see here, Bizarre Vark. I was looking at our famous, there's the Bizarre Vark Wiki.
Okay, so to our loyal audience, we started this podcast by reviewing a lot of kids' shows and movies to talk about how to approach them from a parenting standpoint, that sort of thing. And then we've also recently talked about a lot of general parenting topics, but we thought we'd go back and do a show or two. And so this episode, we looked at Bizarre Vark, which is in the Disney universe. And we're not really sure which channel it's on, but you can get it on the website, because that's what a lot of kids watch these days, the websites and apps and that sort of thing. So, Bizarre Vark, if I may. Well, okay, so here's the problem right off the bat, Dave.
Go ahead.
Typically, when we have done shows, we've given a basic synopsis of the plot.
Yes.
And... sometimes we've alternated. Sometimes we watch season one, episode one, just to sort of, because we assume that that's going to give us the premise and that sort of thing. In this case, we jumped into season one, episode seven.
Yeah.
This show just came out in June, I believe. And to be honest, I consider myself to be a reasonably intelligent individual. After watching this episode, I'm still not abundantly clear on what this show is actually about. I mean, I had to go back and go on the amazing research site Wikipedia to sort of reread what this synopsis is about, because the show itself is a little random, as it were. So
yeah,
what did you think?
I'm trying to process that question because I understand what you're saying, and it took me by probably to the – well, okay. I think in all fairness, we watched an episode that was seven episodes into a brand new season where in this particular episode they were focusing on a – not a side character, but a – you know,
a
they have an ensemble
character cast.
Yeah,
yes.
And as part of this, it's fleshing out this particular character. So the focus was not on the girls. But from what I got from just watching the episode, they are basically a group of kids in high school who have all gotten involved in, and they don't call it YouTube, right?
Correct.
It's correct. Some variation of YouTube, because I'm sure
Google Channel.
In which they're just streaming videos of themselves doing different things.
Right.
Right.
And somehow they have a following and they're able to do this as a... I don't know if it's as a job, but...
No, they're, I mean, part of the episode is them trying to get a gig. And the real sought-after thing for them is to be on TV.
Yes, at least in this episode.
Right, in this episode. But yeah, that would be a boob or a bump for them if they were to get on... some sort of network. You know, YouTube has networks now, too.
Correct.
So, regardless, you're still watching, and it's still tube time. Disney is basically, what I got the impression was, is Disney is exploiting this whole YouTube craze and just self-promotion of just whatever you think you could put on YouTube. Parenting Mistakes Podcast.
Yes, what a good idea.
On YouTube, right? So even we've gotten into it, right? Everybody,
again, it's kind of an American power fantasy, but also the ultimate kid fantasy as well, where all of a sudden, you know,
you're going to be famous.
I'm Justin Bieber, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I got on YouTube and there we go. Or I'm PewDiePie, whoever, right?
Right.
And I would actually say that some of the riffs that they took from the actual YouTube are some of the things that are actually on YouTube, right? Some of the ideas and concepts you would actually see on YouTube. Two girls being silly or funny. The classic, Dirk Dare is the main focus of this episode. And all he's doing is just taking dares that he gets off the internet and he does them on YouTube. And he gets views for it, right?
It's basically Jackass Disney style.
Correct. Yeah, no, that's what I think what it's called, Bizardvark. I think that's a very good analysis, right?
Well, and to play on that, and not to get ahead of ourselves, but to sort of play on that dream of kids, the reality is, and this is different today, I mean, we talk about this, I teach a class called Cyber Theory, which is sort of about our relationship with technology. What is different today for kids is that they have the very real possibility of becoming quote-unquote famous just as normal people if for some reason they can hit a nerve with the internet community and, you know, get a lot of hits.
Yep.
I mean, when you and I were kids, you know, the prospect of becoming famous was there was a much more limited pipeline for that.
No,
you were gonna have to go through some steps.
Well, the fantasy there was I'm in Hollywood, I'm on the Walk of Stars, I walk into a restaurant, and for some reason some producer sees me. It goes,
right.
That's the look I'm looking for, right?
Right.
And, oh, wow, now I'm a movie. And I think that's happened like twice in the history of mankind, right?
Well, and you know that I messed around a little bit with music in high school and did a little garage banding, as it were. And back, you know, when we were growing up in the 80s, the general thought process was, well, we'll put a band together. We'll record a demo tape in the garage and we'll send it to a record company or we'll send it to a radio station and we'll hope that amongst all the other hundreds and thousands of tapes that are sent in, they'll like mine and they'll offer me a record deal.
Yep.
Whereas now, if I put a band together with a song, I could just post it online and skip the middleman.
Yeah,
a lot of ways.
No, totally. I mean, I put a – this is the crazy thing. I can put something of Maddie and Kayleen up of them talking about Shopkins, which I did, and that video has got 100 hits for nothing.
Nice.
Right?
Nice.
Just boom, there it is. And it's because they have Shopkins in the title, and there's two little girls opening up a package of Shopkins.
So let's get back to the sort of the parenting angle of this. So from a parenting standpoint, what's your reaction?
Before we leave that, I think this is Disney's take on it, and yet exploiting another trend that's popular in our culture. It seems that Disney, this is something unique about Disney too, is that whatever is hip and now, they've got a show for it. They've got kids lined up. Here we go.
They jump on it.
Here we go. And they don't stop. It's a machine for them. So whatever trend is out there already, be it, who knows, ballooning, I don't know, right? Whatever they are, they've got they got their fingers on the pulse ready to go. So this is just another, and it's crazy. They just amazing what they pump out. And I don't foresee this show going beyond three seasons.
No, because there's not much there. I mean, what are you developing? What is your plot that you're developing?
Yes, exactly. And this is all the, and of course, it's all the other cliche things that, to really to develop, all they have to do is take all the Jesse scripts that they had from season one and just transplant them into this season.
Yes.
Right?
So what did you think of this?
I think I'm saying it right now. Right? It's just another kind of generic Disney pipeline show that's come out with all the classic generic scripts. Now, admittedly, I mean, at this point, do you expect something really amazing and creative to come out of a Disney kids show? Or do we just expect that the power fantasy is going to continue? The adults are silly, and somehow I'm going to make it big or strike it big. I'm already kind of big, right? Like, I've already got some fame because I'm doing this thing. I mean,
do I expect? No, I don't.
I think, I mean, yeah.
I for better or for worse, and this is something we've discussed before, I have really low expectations going into a show like this. I just sort of say it's going to be clean. It's going to be sort of forced goofball Disney-like humor. The kids are going to be completely running whatever universe they've created. If there's an adult, they are going to be a buffoon or sort of neutered of their power or trying to stand in the kids' way, which the kids will figure out a way to
right. Well, in this case, the adult is literally just a video screen. That was weird. There's some sort of virtual adult that they have created who goes around on two wheels and a couple of sticks and a screen. And the person's face is projected on the screen, the adult's face, right? And they're interacting with this, which I'm like, it's crazy to think that, I mean, it's interesting, right, that they've decided, well, instead of actually putting the actor here, we're going to put the actor on the screen on stilts, and he'll run around on wheels.
Well, but it's a modern version of Charlie's Angels.
Okay.
Yeah, is it not? Is
you,
it
you
not?
Pulled, you pulled more for it than me, right?
Well, okay, but I just thought of that off the top of my head. But, I mean, kids today won't understand that. But you saw a couple Charlie's Angels episodes back in the day.
Oh, sure.
I mean, whoever Charlie or whatever, who was their, what, their boss, their
sponsor. I would
sponsor,
say their handler.
Their handler.
Yeah.
But you never saw him. He was a little, he'd talk to them through a speaker.
Sure. And that's part of the charm of that.
Well, yeah, but that's a little bit what they're doing here. They're saying, oh, there's this person, I guess, who they don't actually meet with, but is at a distance, and now they've just sort of updated it by making it high-tech that he is on this rolling video screen. So
it's just a side point to this show. Okay, I want to give the show a fair shake. I thought the message is okay. The story in this particular episode is about Dirk. His name is Dirk. He is Dirk Dare on YouTube or whatever they want to call it, right? And
yes.
Basically, one of the main characters, and I want to say her name is Paige.
Paige and Frankie.
Frankie. So Paige, in this case, has compassion and says, Dirk is actually really hurting himself every time he does one of these dares. And they
yes.
get more and more challenging as it goes. And to get more views, he's got to do even more crazier stunts. Again, I don't know where this particular storyline is going to go, right? They've already kind of written Dirk into a corner. Anyway, she says, maybe there are other ways in which Dirk can do things that don't harm himself. So I thought, that's okay. That's fair, right? I got a friend who's having compassion upon the situation. The rest of the characters are just laughing at Dirk, right? Ha ha, Dirk's such a jerk, right? But the episode basically, and you knew where it was going to wind up, but basically Dirk is given the opportunity to do something completely different than outside of being a dare. But at the end of the episode, it realizes that he just loves doing dares. It's what he was built for. And that as a friend, you should let your friend kill yourself. I don't know. Right? I'm not trying to be a jerk, but I'm like, that's kind of how it went, right? Like, Dirk is literally going to kill himself eventually. But
yes.
It's what he loves to do. And she realizes that and says, fine, Dirk, I'll actually help you hurt yourself. And if I help you, maybe there's a chance in which you won't get as hurt as bad.
Yeah, I think she sets up a dare or something at the end where
yep.
there was like a 99% chance he's going to get hurt, but somehow she set it up and there's only going to be an 87% chance that he gets
exactly.
hurt.
Exactly. So
and we all all chuckle at that, but then at the same time we sit back and go, okay, so you still got an 87% chance you're going to get hurt.
Yeah, and I don't want to use that harsh language of he's going to kill himself, but a lot of these YouTubers do that. They will do a lot of extreme things to themselves that just look like that's irreversible. You're not going to come back from that, bud.
Yeah, and this is a sort of a standard Disney message and something that fits well with society to sort of say, you know, whatever it is you really want to do, whoever you really are, you just do that. Go right. ahead and just pursue that.
Well, and the stronger message is, and as their friend, you should let that person do the thing that they do best.
Correct.
Right?
As opposed to saying to Dirk, hey, Dirk, it does appear that you know physics really well, which apparently he somehow...
He's a physics genius.
Somehow he's a... Yeah, he's a physics savant, but he somehow isn't interested in physics.
Speaking of which, just side note, Evel Knievel was not...
A physics genius?
No.
He did no physics. He did no math prior to his jumps. He just did them.
How do you know that?
I listened to a Stuff You Should Know podcast about Evel Knievel.
Okay. Yeah. So what? He would just look at a canyon and he would just kind of go...
He would look at a row of trucks and think to himself, I think I could jump that with my Harley if I go fast enough. Quite literally.
Okay.
Because for him, it was all about the dare. It wasn't about the physics, where in this case, Dirk actually has brain. Evel Knievel did not.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. I'm watching this, and there's just kind of random silliness all over the screen. It felt like puppets with sticks just beating each other.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a very loose plot. You've got sort of a side thing where, you know, their friend Bernie is trying to be their agent and trying to hook up a deal, and somehow he's in an office and the desk is at an angle up in the air,
I'd like to talk about Bernie for a second. One of these things that's a draw for everybody in the show, and of course I'm a kid, I am drawn in by the attractive cast, and I would have to say Bernie out of all of them is the most interesting, entertaining actor on the show. I found him actually inquisitive, like, ooh, what is this kid? What is he doing? He's interesting to watch. He's good at execution. He's got some timing. Maybe I'm giving him too much, but I'm just saying.
You're giving him too much.
Okay.
Well, he plays the sort of standard typecast, Weasley, you know, business-minded agent guy.
And he's 13.
Yeah, he's a little schemer entrepreneur.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, again, much like many other Disney shows, watching this from a parenting standpoint, I would say it's like taking a can of whipped cream and just eating it and saying, okay, you can eat a little of this, but let's not just sit on the couch and eat the whole can. It's kind of throwaway television. You're not going to get any depth from this at all.
I'm not sure what would happen if we sat down and watched a Disney show where there were actual consequences. and actually Dirk decides, you know, I can make a ton of money just being a physics teacher.
Well, right.
Maybe you're not a teacher, but I can launch a moon. I can launch a rocket to the moon. He changes the dynamic of his show to becoming Dirk the Rocket Man because he knows so much about physics. He can actually get people to Mars, right? I'd watch that.
Well, and we're being a big buzzkill here, but what happens when Dirk does a stunt and he falls and he breaks his arm? And he's, you know, dropping expletives and crying and there's blood all over the place.
Oh, it's entertaining.
Then it would be on Fox instead of on the Disney Channel.
That's right. Oh, right. Okay, I get what you're saying. Right, yeah.
Yeah.
That's never going to happen either.
No. This is to your point. This is a Disney vehicle. It's very typecast. They have the, you know, cute, diverse cast. They kids are all in charge. They're kind of doing whatever they want. They're all hip. They're all dressed nice, and they're kind of living whatever fantasy they have. So.
And they're waiting two more seasons till they get the next Disney show, and then they'll be recycled into that. More of their popular characters. I guarantee you that kid that plays Bernie, we'll see him again.
Yeah.
He's young. I guarantee he'll be in... I'll like a prediction. He'll be in two more Disney series.
Okay. Well, then we should, you know, tweet
Kinga
at him or
Vark
something. Yeah.
And Bizarre Yodi.
All right. Anything else?
That's what I got.
Speaking of popular shows on YouTube, we are on YouTube.
That's true.
So if you like to listen to our podcast, but you like YouTube,
and
you
our agent keeps on telling us to advertise ourselves, so
right, yeah. So yeah, this is what we're doing. YouTube, we're on Podomatic, and we're on iTunes. And one of these days we're gonna be on Google Play, right?
Oh my gosh,
one of these days.
Yes, I gotta get to that.
Yeah,
yes,
to-do list.
Yes, yes. All right.
We'll do that in the post show. you can follow us on Twitter, Parent Mistakes. Please tweet us, follow us. You can like us on Facebook, Parenting Mistakes, and you can send us an email, parentingmistakes@hotmail.com. And as Dave mentioned before, if you got some extra cash and want to support the arts and our amazing lifestyles, you can support us on Patreon.
You want us to do more reviews? We will.
And we will do more reviews, so send your requests or other parenting topics. Or if you just want to listen to us talk about other stuff, we could, I don't know, discuss the election or something like that.
Wow, that would be interesting. Okay.
Good. All right. Until then, we're going to go count our views on YouTube.